time is the most precious resource that we have. Money can come and go. If you like to gamble, I'll tell you I'm your man. You win some, lose some, it's all the same to me. It's the ace of spades, as Lemmy says. Which is true. Money comes and goes. Time, you can't get it back. So when somebody invests the time in you, it means something. You know, they're not just doing it for their health, for the most part. And if it's they have no personal gain, then it even means more. So when I say that, I appreciate your friendship and thanks for coming on, Captain Jeff Powell. And also, there's so many people I shook hands with, hugged, handed stickers to, signed autographs for, and kissed babies off. Okay, I didn't kiss any babies. I wanted to kiss the mamas, though. No, but there's a lot of people I got to meet, and it was amazing. It was humbling. It was flattering. And to honor a fallen veteran like we did, or they did, I should say, I was just a spectator, and I'm still humbled to have been invited to such an amazing ceremony that we'll talk about in a minute. But once again, for those that take the time to invest in you, it means a lot. And also the Command Master Chief there, big thank you, Master Chief Lopez. Awesome dude. We worked together at 1st Naval Construction Division, so that was good to see. The Command Master Chief and also the XO of Naval Construction Battalion Center just picked up a job for Naval Construction Training Center. And to see somebody that was a former enlisted be able to instruct the youngest of the young, you know, basically the people that are coming straight out of boot camp are going to school. And this gentleman who once was in a school himself is going to be in charge of the command that a lot of the junior CBs are going through. But the builders and steelworkers going through where I went through when I was 19 years old. I think that's amazing. Also nice gentleman, and it's always good to see a prior enlisted in a position like this because a lot of times it doesn't happen. And so that's awesome. It's amazing. And then getting down to the skipper of the East Coast Seabees, the Atlantic Fleet, as they call them. It was really good to sit down with Captain Jeff Powell once again. And I hope you guys dig this podcast. And as they say, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your loved ones, give me 5 stars, all that other stuff, and whatever platform you listen to. If there's anything I can help with, please, I have ears to listen. I have a mouth to put whatever you say in other people's ears. So if there's anything I can do to help out, whatever, I don't care what it is. You know, if I think it's dumb, I'll be like, look, man, that's kind of stupid. But if it's legit, you know, I'm going to do everything I can, and I won't make you feel dumb for that, unless it's CPA. I can't help you with that. That's stupid. Okay, love you guys. Thanks for tuning in and checking out the show. Is that how it works?
What's that?
The microphones. All right. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here once again with
Captain Jeff Powell, United States Navy.
Hoorah. Captain Jeff Powell invited me not too long ago to come to beautiful Gulfport, Mississippi, and because they were naming a fitness center off of a badass individual, hardcore CB, Mr. Raymond Border.
That's right.
And it was really cool. I loved hearing these stories about this gentleman. Like, one of my favorites was it makes sense to name a fitness center after this guy, because when he was on when he was on a deployment site, he actually stole all the gear that was in a gym and took it to a whole nother place he had to go to. Supposedly it just relocated itself at the same time he did, you know.
What so a coincidence.
I love that. And this guy was an awesome dude. Real good buddy of Jason Johnson, which is one of my best friends, a builder, a chief. And so I've heard nothing but these great stories about this gentleman. And what I was really curious about was what goes into naming a building after, like, what's the process? How does that work?
Sure. Well, thanks. It's great to be with you, Josh, as always. It's good to see you and glad to see you're doing well. I'm glad you could come to that ceremony. I've never done anything like that in my 26 years in the Navy.
Right.
So I've been here as the base CO in Gulfport for about a year and a half now. And it was probably the first week or two, Command Master Chief of the base comes and says, I've got an idea. I'm working on something.
Right.
And I need your help with this. And And I think, you know, people listening will know that the gate in Wanimi was renamed for Petty Officer Eric Knott, who died in Iraq. So this is CBC Gulf Board. This is the East Coast home of the Seabees, right? Nothing on this base has been named for anybody in the last 40 or 50 years.
Right.
And certainly nothing for OIF or OEF, you know, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom. And this base was pivotal, like Wanimi was, but certainly, as we talked about, as I just drove you around, a lot of mobilizations through here. A lot of, I think the reserves primarily mobilized through here to go over to the desert. A lot of individual augmentees mobilized through here. So this is a pretty important base for the last 10, 12 years, 15 years of our what's the Navy's been going through. And so, so nothing's named for anybody. And so, and obviously Master Chief says, hey, we, you know, we can name it for this chief. We have this fitness center that everybody loves. And I will tell you, you know, post Katrina, this base is largely brand new.
Right.
The gym is kind of the centerpiece or the showcase of the base. It's very nice. It's in great shape. And everybody kind of knew that this guy, Ray Border, was a huge, you know, gym rat to use that term and loved to work out and was just all about physical fitness and as a part of readiness. And the fitness center is just named the fitness center. It's just the gym.
Yeah.
And so it all kind of worked out. And so, so that was August probably summer of 2020. And here we are, February of 22. And we just got it named and got it approved and got the ceremony done. But essentially, you have to request all the records from Millington. And you have to go to and some of these records are stored in St. Louis, Missouri, and long-term storage.
When you're saying records, you're talking about the person or about the base?
The person. You know? Well, so the other thing, so we have to get our public works and our real estate folks involved to make sure that nothing else in the Navy is named for this guy, right? And that particular building doesn't have a name or designation already on it. So we have to do all that kind of background check. That just takes time. Then you have to make sure that, and I'm not speaking ill of the deceased, they don't have any NJPs. They don't have any adverse information.
Right.
They're not secretly, comes to find out they're in some kind of, you know, Nazi gang, or they have any any kind of supremacy organization, or they have any, there's basically nothing bad about them. Now, I wouldn't say you have to be NJP free, but you basically have to be, you know, pretty clean.
If it was anybody before, basically 2000, almost everybody had an NJP
how do you make rank?
That's how you become an NCO. It's exactly. 145.
Right. And so the thing with him was kind of the story of joining the Navy, multiple deployments with NMCB-1, NMCB-74. And then what was sort of interesting about Ray Border was on a deployment, which is regular, you know, routine battalion deployment, came home, and then at that time, you know, volunteered to go back on an individual augmentee.
Right. Assignment. And that's what a lot of people don't realize is IAs. That was a big thing. The individual augmentee thing was, CBs are always in high demand. For those that don't understand how CBs work, we usually go on these deployments, and then some are back when I came in, it was 7 and 7, and then it became 6 and 12 were the deployments. But then again, there's circumstances where you're not going to need an entire battalion. You might need one or two people with a certain set of skills, and that's it. And that was basically what he did. You're like, hey, we have 7 positions. We need 7 CBs to go to 7 different places throughout the world, you know. And he happened to be one of the people that went to Afghanistan for him on this one, and then building a road near the Pakistani border was where he hit an IED, and then, you know, that's where he perished, you know. And it's just, they need us everywhere, but a lot of people don't realize it until, you know, the Navy's little dirty secrets, the CBs, because they don't really think anything of us. And they go, CBs, ugh, whatever. And then when it comes down to wartime, it's like, we'll break the glass and get these guys out here. Yeah. Right.
So it's interesting. So, and you know, when we were at 1NCD together, there's always, always demands for these individual big teams, time. Right? And generally, you'd like to think they pull from shore duty, or they pull from, they don't pull out of sea duty battalions, but they do occasionally. Right. And, as the base here, I get requests for, you know, guys to go to Gitmo or go to Poland or go wherever and all the time.
To be honest with you, that's the best place to get them. And it's sad because you're already a deployed unit, but in a deployable unit, that means your skill sets are up and high, and you're
ready, and your paperwork's in order, and all those things. So he went back, and so again, kind of did a back-to-back deployment, if you will, and unfortunately died in October of 2011. Got a combat action ribbon, had a Bronze Star with V for Valor. And so all that helped tell the story, and I'm not taking away from anyone else that perished over there, but just he had a great story of volunteer, you know, above and beyond service, and a V for Valor, and so you then submit this package, and basically we worked on the wording of that for several months of just telling the story, kind of like was born, joined the Navy, did this, volunteered, you know, all community involvement. What a great sailor he was. Why we want to name the gym after him, because, you know, he, you know, sort of tell the whole story. And then it's basically interesting. It's from the base to the CNO, but it's routed through, you know, the region. And then, so my Navy Region Southeast, for example, or, you know, in the case of Port Hueneme, it's going to go through Navy Region Southwest and then gets up to Navy Installations Command and then to the CNO's office. And, you know, every JAG in the world, every lawyer in the world is going to look at this and double check and tell me why he's deserving and worthy.
And then every desk that hits, like, just so people are listening, no, I'm not trying to cut you off, but every desk that hits, they want to do research as well. So it's like, it takes a lot of time because you don't want to sign something off. And then it's like, don't be the senior man with a secret, basically. So if you're looking at this and you didn't know that there was this, you know, criminal activity where, heaven forbid, somebody's like, they beat their wife or whatever it is. Sure. I'm just throwing it out there. But, you know, and then you became the person that was responsible for this because you didn't check, you know. So every desk, you know, a lot of people think that it's just simple, like, well, you know, I was on deployment with Eddie Van Halen and he was awesome on the guitar and he was like the best. And, you know, he died in a roadside car wreck while drinking and driving. And you're like, can we name a building after him? No, there's a lot of things that go into these.
Right. Might be a good guy, but won't necessarily reflect well on the United States Navy. And that's, you know, love it or not, that's how it works. So it took lots of calls. And again, sort of Master Chief and some other folks championing it kind of up the chain. And then I think it was like late September or October of 21 that we got approval. And so probably the neatest thing is Master Chief and I got on Zoom and notified the family on the 10th anniversary of his death.
Oh, okay.
So we originally were trying to get the building named that day.
Yeah.
So he was killed October
19th?
I think it was October 19th, 2011. We put on our request, we would love to name this building October 19, 2021, 10th anniversary of his death, which would have been perfect. We didn't quite get there because they didn't tell us till like September the 30th.
Right.
But we were able to tell the family that day and up in Ohio. And you may have met him. Or I mean, sweet.
Nice.
Mom and dad.
Did.
He had two kids. They were, you know, 8 and 10 when he died. And they're now, you know, 19 and 21 or whatever. But we were able to tell them on the 10th anniversary. And they were over the moon thrilled and honored. And then kind of worked with him to figure out a date, and it turned out to be this weekend in February. And so if anybody's listening, if you ever find your way, you know, the fitness center is now officially the Raymond J. Border Fitness Center. There's a plaque outside, there's a sign with bearing his name, there's a plaque talking about what he did and how he died. And then inside, his family donated a bunch of artifacts and mementos and flags and pennants and pins and all kinds of things. And it's a really nice display.
West Lafayette High School stuff and like
absolutely
from Coshocton County. I think it's is it 39 is named after him. Highway in Coshocton County.
Right.
So if you go through that, you know, which is really cool, that's named after him. And his mom, believe it or not, is from Fremont, Ohio.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My hometown.
I didn't know that connection.
Yes.
That's pretty neat.
And I didn't either. I was talking to his father and I was like, you know, hey, I really didn't know him, but I knew a lot of him. And I was getting kind of a little choked up because, you know, when you lose people like that, we're all one family.
Yeah.
So it's like the brother I never really knew, you know what I mean? And so anyways, getting kind of choked up talking to his father, and I'm in the back of my head, I'm thinking, how is he keeping it together so well right now? You know, but he was had some really good stories about him. Diehard sports figure back where he grew up, and you know, that part of Ohio, that's big time sports.
Absolutely.
You know, so to be, it's a little bit different. Like if you're in some regular town and getting into football. Now, if you're in a place where everybody is worried about this sport, then, you know, you have to be the cream of the crop in that area. You're not just signing up and getting on the team.
Right.
You know, so yeah. So West Lafayette, Ohio, Coshocton County, 39. Think that.
So it's all the more fitting that we named the fitness center after him. And so
yeah, definitely.
It's really, really special. And now I think it's, I know there's a movement underway. There's another chief who died in Iraq named Joel Baldwin.
Yes.
And people have heard of him. And I think that we're going to name a building actually over at NCTC Gulfport. Like the main builder academic building. I think we're going to name that. They're going to try to name that for him. But again, who knows if it succeeds, right? It's
right.
As we've learned, it's a tough process, takes a long time. And you know,
they might be like, your quota is good for 5 years, you know, because you have one building.
I don't know that there is a quota, but it's definitely, I've learned a lot that you just can't decide, you know, out of the blue to name something. I mean, maybe back in the day they did that. And I think there are some random names on this base of street names and buildings that nobody can figure out why. And the galley here has a name. Nobody really knows why. The records are gone.
Right.
That's just what the galley's called. But we would, but that's a good example of we would not be able to rename the galley because it's named for somebody.
Right. Okay. So, that makes sense. So, and you don't even know why it's named for somebody.
And frankly, it's embarrassing. We don't even know why.
Yeah.
But, and there's a few other things on base like that, but we're really honored to be able to do that. And it was sort of a nice tribute to, you know, wrap up the sort of the legacy or the, this history period of history for CB's involvement in Afghanistan and Iraq. So,
yeah, that's definitely, it's definitely heavy because it's like, these are things a lot of people don't realize that you're doing this stuff and we're mortal because you feel like you're made out of Rubbermaid a lot of times. And you're just going out there and you're doing these ballsy things and you're like, all my friends are coming back. I'll be fine. So you never know when it's really the last time you're going to see somebody.
You never know. And then later on that day, as you know, we had an event down at the mall here.
Yes.
And so if you've ever been to, I think Southern California does it and Virginia Beach does it, where they do these sort of permanent sand sculptures.
Yep.
So they did that inside the mall here on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. And it's a tribute to the military. And I think all the other faces there are sort of just composite or just generic pictures of soldiers, airmen, et cetera, except for the one of the Navy guy. And that's Ray Border. And so they basically, the artist took his photo and basically created a 3D image of his face. And
it was so shocking because all the eyeballs, everything, like I'm talking about fine details. I'm going to eyeballs here. That's right. How fine detailed everything was. It was just like, oh my goodness. And his father was like looking at it, but that's where I talked to his dad. It was like, and his dad was looking at it, was like, wow, man, they really did a good job on all this. Wow. This is really something. Yeah. I was like,
so it was
man.
Nice to have another event. I mean, so they were going to, I think they turned out, you know, they have a lot of family in this area, extended family. And so they're having a reunion or a family, you know, kind of vacation anyway. And so it was nice to have a couple of events for them to.
And they're the ones who dictated the date, right?
So they're the ones that picked the date.
Perfect.
So we sort of then backwards planned and made it all work. But so many people, I mean, just the invitations and the seating arrangement and the band and the requests and the MWR basically.
Yeah, Marine Corps band was really good too.
Marine Corps band, it's always great to write better than press and play and
hear music. Yeah.
And then the MWR kind of used it as an open house. So they were able to feed everybody. And so it was a great event. And I tell you what, you know, that Friday night, Mass Chief and I were just sort of sense of relief and just accomplishment. And you know, I think, as I said it, I think in my remarks, if we do nothing else here, at least we made a permanent improvement in the base and we a great memory for that family. And that's really important.
I was talking with Mass Chief Lopez. He was the driving force behind.
He was, yeah, absolutely
behind this, and it was cool because when you're doing this career and it comes towards the end, you have that option of like, do I do a ceremony? Do I do anything like that? Whether he does or not, I remember he won't say this out loud, but I'll say it for him. He was just like, he's like, this is more meaningful to me than anything, and I think he's like, I don't know if I really want to do a ceremony. This right here was awesome. You know, and I thought that was really cool. To me, that meant a lot. And like,
absolutely.
It's funny because of, you know, how small the CBs are. Here we are, 2022, and we all worked together, us three, at First Naval Construction Division. Like when he was leaving, I ended up picking up a lot of his job. Landed on my plate because he's going to somewhere else. And it's just cool, like how we are all back here again, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that was, I think that was 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah. It was like one of my favorite gigs. It was because it was so random.
Yeah. You know? I know you really like that. That was, you've talked about that before, so.
Yeah. As well, you're emailing everybody on Facebook trying to figure out stuff that, you know, you guys, the officer side of the house, you have to send out professional messages to go way up, to come back down and all that other stuff where I'm just like, hey,
I got this.
Don't ask me how I'm doing it. I mean, I can say it now. I'm retired, but
sure.
I would tell you, don't ask me how I figure this out, but I will find this out for you by the end of the day. And I did that for you, and I think Captain Jones. I did that for currently Captain Miranda now,
right?
And like these other cats. I was like, I got you. And don't ask me how. Keith Frederick, retired Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay.
No questions.
No questions.
I didn't break any laws. But
I didn't.
Yeah, right.
But you don't want to be able to be accountable for these answers.
Sure. Yeah.
So. You know, I didn't break any laws. Very true. So you're here doing, tell the kiddies out there, the last time you and I hung out, it was you were getting ready to leave San Diego. When I say hang out, I mean recorded a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting ready to leave San Diego because you were in charge of the NAVFAC, naval facilities down there.
Right.
Right? And then you're coming over here as the commanding officer. Now you're in charge of, like, this base, Gulfport. What would you say your daily activities are here?
So it's interesting. So I think on a previous, Well, you give me a lot of shout outs in your podcast.
Oh, yeah. You always message me.
And I appreciate that.
I appreciate that as well. Because sometimes I'm like, I feel like nobody's listening to this.
Oh, no, I listen. I follow you. I mean, again, if I appreciate our friendship and I really respect what you're doing and I think getting the word out. The last time I think you said Cap Powell's in charge of all the East Coast CBs. I am not.
Yeah.
I am just I'm the janitor for the East Coast CBs, basically. Right. Okay. So I'm just the base CEO here. So probably about 10 years ago, it was one 106 job that was the Commodore of the CBs and the base and the installation commander. It's split, like 2012, 2013.
Okay.
And so I am just now the base CEO. So, I work for the Naval Installations Command. I'm one of, 70 bases in the Navy. This is one of them. And so it is the gates, the roads, the housing, the child development center, the galley. One thing, even the exchange manager, quote unquote, reports to me about, hey, is it okay if we open an hour early or stay an hour late? I mean, they sort of, hey, we're out of gas. And they tell me that like I'm.
But yeah, because it's like, well, I'll send you some right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, the commissary kind of runs again. They sort of bend to whatever the base wants to do as far as COVID policy or hours or, if we have a hurricane, they'll kind of rally and become part of the team. But yeah, it's keeping the lights on, keeping the training, training areas open and those kind of things, doing all the public works and facilities and cutting trees and grass. And so essentially it's a service job to support the tenants here. So the main tenant here are the CBs.
So yeah, you're in charge of the parks department, basically.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Exactly. Like
they should just make it both one job again, because they closed down the golfing. You have no golf course.
I have no golf course. Right.
So it's just like now you got free time. Is gone.
But yeah, but I will tell you that. So as we drove around just now, there's 500 houses on this base, and there's three gates, and being a Navy base, just like any other Navy command, you're inspected a lot. There's lots of certifications and credentialing and all those things. And so there's a cycle of inspections for the security and for the child development center and public works and energy and environmental and all those things. And so just managing all that team. So, all the barracks rooms, just, I have a great team. It's interesting. It's a mostly civilian organization with a few military, but I have next to no CBs here. Right. As far as it worked for me, the CSs, it's the MAs, it's RPs that are in the chapel, RSs, which is a relatively new rate in the Navy.
Right? What's RS?
Retail specialist.
Okay.
Used to be SH.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
Barber, ship store. If you're on a ship, you're the ship store guy.
Yeah.
So,
for people that are wondering, what are all these letters meaning? Like RP, that's a religious
program specialist.
And then you have an MS, which is now a CS.
CS, culinary specialist.
For those
specialist.
That don't know, that they change. Right. And that's your cooks, your CSs. And also they do like the hotel side of the house too.
They do. So
the barracks management.
Yeah. So a third of them work in the barracks.
Yeah.
Along with the RSs, the retail specialists. They're doing different things. And this is largely shore duty, right? For all these guys. And what else?
MAs, that's like the Navy Police Mastered Arms.
Right.
So if you have to go PP in a bottle, they're the ones that follow you around to do that. And also if you get pulled over on a base, they're also the cops that make you, that do that.
Exactly.
That's the,
right. Yeah. And I have a few bosun mates here that kind of run the quarterdeck. And then there's...
And they do nothing. I'm just kidding.
They scrape paint. And yeah, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
They're in charge of the ceremony. So a lot of times when you're doing like naval, they also, they're the ones that make the whistle sound.
Yeah, they make the... Right. Exactly.
They shine bells.
So, but yeah, it's a good team and a lot of civilians, some of them are just civilians. They never have served. Others are retired military members that are on the security department or work in the emergency operations center or, work in the barracks. It's a great team.
One of the things I thought was really cool too, because thanks again, you gave me a tour. I got a tour of the, ladies and gentlemen, I got a tour of the whole base by the base CO, which was really neat. When one of the first places we stopped was what's like the movie theater / Naval CB History, the Historical Foundation.
Yeah, we call it the Heritage Center.
Heritage Center. And on the way in, a list of every CB that passed away and on a brick outside that.
Yes.
And I thought that was really cool because you're like, if you're looking at this, if you ever come through Gulfport, I highly suggest you check it out because you can see like Palau and like a lot of these places that people,
you've read about them in history books, right? And, now you can put names with these two or three or five or 10 CBs.
Palau or whatever these islands were, where
you gave their all at that location.
Guadalcanal. So. And it's insane because you're at Leyte Island. My grandpa O'Brien was outside Leyte. And that was, so you have somebody, I saw Leyte and I was instantly thinking of my grandpa O'Brien's World War II stories. And then I had no clue what a CB was. You know, when
was he a CB?
No.
Okay.
He's just a fleet sailor. He's a GM.
Okay.
Technically, I mean, he was non-rate, but he was really a doing a gunner's GM mate, stuff.
Ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen.
Yeah, that was about ready to go there. Thank you. You helped me out. Yeah. So he was basically a guns, but he wasn't anyway. So I was going through there, or I was talking with my grandpa a long time ago, rest in peace, and he would talk about, the CBs, you know, and he'd talk about these runways and, like, these insane freaking stories. And I'm like, wow, I'm actually going to be one of these guys, you know, and now it's, you know, and the stories behind that, it's insane. And then the people that sacrificed, you know, that were there, that's really sad, but it's really awesome that they're honored here, you know.
It's sobering to see that, but it is something we want to preserve and think about. And it's kind of why we did the ceremony Friday, renaming the gym. It's just, hey, that's going to be a perpetual reminder when you go in there of, hey, somebody that lived and operated and worked on this base gave us all. And now you're going in here to work out or take a class or whatever you're doing. But yeah, we're real excited about that.
What, is there anything coming up? Like, there's like a CB reunion or something coming through, or
there is. So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what the demographics of all the CBs are, but I'm told most of them are retiring in the East Coast and the Southeast, probably because of cost, right? I mean, just cheaper cost of living. And so Gulfport becomes a pretty frequent location for all these CB reunions of all the different battalions and CB special battalions, and, you know, they call them islands or you know, whatever, right? And I think there's pretty cheap lodging here. They go to the casinos.
Yeah.
They can see shows. You know, they'll get a tour of the base. And they'll rent out a conference room, and they'll just have like a reunion. So I think the all CB reunion is April 20 to 23, 2022. And it culminates in that Saturday, the 23rd, we're going to have a CB days.
Okay, cool. Base.
So we haven't had CB days here for a couple years, mostly because of COVID. But I think we're to the point now where we can have an outdoor festival and we'll have, you know, static displays and we'll have, like, you know, gun trucks and kind of a convoy security element type presentation.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And I think they're still figuring out who the musical act is. We're trying to get Lieutenant Dan Band.
Oh, okay.
I actually tweeted him on my personal tweet.
Be like, come on, man.
And he didn't write me back.
Yeah.
So, imagine that. But, so we're trying to get an entertainment and make it a...
A lot of those people like that, if you're trying to do that, is hit up their PR. Whoever their personal, people are, then Instagram, for some reason, a lot of times Instagram goes directly to a lot of these people.
Interesting.
So if you message them on Instagram, they'll hit, a lot of times people will hit you back, you know, and that's always really interesting. And CB days, I'm glad you're doing CB days, because when I was an SW3, that's a steelworker. when I was a construction.
Now, is that the first time you made SW3 or the second time?
I only did it one time.
Okay.
I had a series of suspended busts where it got suspicious.
That's something.
But yeah, suspended busts, another story for another podcast. But what I thought was cool about CB days was, for me, is we had to do timber tower, you do a bunker, you do bridges, SWA huts, and all that. And that was the first time I built one, and I never forgot. So just having to do this thing, being on a working party that built this, you know, later on, I'm leading the project for something. And that's like a very good training exercise that's gone wayside, because you would have everybody doing towers and bunkers and bridges and wind walls and all this other stuff. And now they got rid of it in Wyoming. That's, you know, that's where I spent most of my career.
Yeah.
And then, plus they bust out all the really cool equipment that sits in a building nice, clean, and pristine forever. And it just comes out for CB days.
Exactly. Right.
And then it goes back and it's just like, wow, we have these.
When I was here before, on this base, my previous tours, they had CB days, and it was a lot of carnival rides.
Yep.
And petting zoos, and you could go ride horses, and they had a little, I think we're doing less of that. It's just going to be kind of food booths and, you know, music, and you know, the First Class Petty Officer Association will sell hot dogs or, you know, whatever. It'll be just different.
Yeah, because it used to look like a county fair with a county fair on one side, and then you have the people coming back to reminisce. And that was another thing too I loved, was because I built the Sea Hut, and then doing the Sea Hut thing, I'd have Vietnam era CBs walk through, and they would like literally point on the wall to where the rack was, and this is where I had a nail here, and this is where I'd put my gun, and then right under here I had a trap door. So like if anything happened, we can go out the trap door on the bottom, and I would just absorb all these stories. And I like, because the SWAT Hut, the same shape, you know what I mean?
It hasn't changed, right?
It's the exact same shape as Vietnam. So these guys are like having these awesome stories. I'm like, what?
Was it still 16 by 32 back then?
Whatever it was, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. So
you don't know that it's 16.
I don't remember the I don't remember the dimensions anymore. It's been a while.
Can I see your excuse certificate? We're going to go and try
that's
right
okay.
Here.
Do you want to take it again? Yeah. Somebody else did it before.
No, it's funny you mentioned suspended. So I'm not proud of this fact, but I've done when I was battalion skipper and then now the base skipper. I've done a lot of captain's mast, unfortunately, because you have to uphold a good order and discipline. But I a lot of times as an incentive tool do the suspended, whatever it is, bust, money, restriction, and to my knowledge, I always ask them, because you can see the look on their faces, you know, I'm going to take 1.5 months pay for, you know, 2 months, but I'm going to suspend that. And they look at you like, because it sounds like a negative word. And, you know, obviously suspension is it, right? I don't want to be suspended from school, but nobody really understands that. And I'm like, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. If you stay clean and you know, I'm going to take you at your word that you learned your lesson. But it's just, it's funny to me that dozens and dozens of masts I've done and nobody ever. I don't know when it ever gets explained to people what that means, because hopefully you never have to find out.
Right? I thought you knew at the moment, because I'm telling you straight up, this is what happened to me.
You do understand. But what I'm saying is these people that have been in the Navy for 4, 5, 6, 8 years, I'm like, you're going to get 45 days restriction, but I'm going to suspend 30 of that.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? What is that? You know, they don't know what that means. And I'm like, me,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I always thought people would know what that meant at that moment. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, you're only actually going to be on restriction 15 days.
Because.
Oh, okay. Thanks, sir. And it's like, okay. Anyway, I explain it every single time.
That's without funny. Fail. Oh, that's hilarious. Because for me, it was the opposite. It was like, all right. So my wife at the time, she was part of the family support group and whatever.
Right.
And the skipper was worshiping. His wife knew. His wife knew my wife, and you know what I mean? Sure. So like they all talk, whatever. And he basically took my $200 a month. This is my allowance. So instead of, you know, so my family could still function, but he's like, you know, 45 days restriction, 45 days extra duty, $200 a month. And in the back of my head, I'm like, he knows. That's crazy. Reduction in rate. And I'm like, suspended, but that 5 seconds felt like 5 years.
Oh, sure.
Because when he said suspended, my heart came back to like after it jumped, it came back. Now, 30 some days on my restriction. Oh, during that, I'm still teaching CB combat warfare classes, right? Mm. I think I told this on a previous podcast, but during this, and I chew out
with the red hard hat on and everything.
No, we didn't do red hard hats in four. At the time, but anyways, I did have the red badge of courage.
Sure.
So, and I chewed out some dude, and I come to find out it was the XO, and I didn't know it, but I was like, went hard in the paint on him, and I was just like, look, Mo, you gotta fucking, you can't do that. And I was like, you gotta like get your boot, you know, because it's the CBR stuff. And then, when we came to take off the whole CBR stuff, it's big, if you don't know, it's boots, smocks, and these all their weird stuff. And when we come to take it all off, I was like, look, I didn't mean to get that loud with you, but this stuff could kill you if you don't do it properly. In the back of my head, I'm like, I am sold now going to be a construction man, but I got to commit to this. If not, then, you know, I just came from the 31st, or I came from the instructing this to now here I am. And he's like, no, I thank you very much. And, I think that was part of the thing. Cause at the end of it, Austin Leadham and Mike Sigler, two awesome retired master chiefs, pulled me aside like, hey, Obi, we're going to frock you today because I made second class on restriction. So like after restriction came by and they were pinning everybody else at the same time, they just slid me right in there and bam. And then
that's fine. I generally take a very like literal view or very, I say, forgiving view of mass. Like you did this thing or these things, you've been punished for it, and then we're done with that. I'm not going to continue to, you know, hold grudges or hold you down or whatever. So, I mean, there's a young sailor here who's an MA. I took her to mass. She did a very silly thing. She lied about some stuff. And then last fall I promoted her back to third class.
There you go.
And that's, and it's like, and I said something to her, I said, hey, I knew you could, that's all behind. She's like, sir, I didn't know I was going to get this. I was like, of course you are. I'm proud of you. I'm on your side. I want you to succeed. I had to hold you accountable for you know, violating, leave or whatever she did and lying about it. But I said, that's in the past.
And also, like, when you're young, it's kind of good to have that in there. Just the one time, you understand. Because also later on, you know, it's changed a lot because the manning of the military dictates really how bad people get kicked out or not, or how long we're going to stick around. Because if they're looking to get rid of people, then that's kind of, sorry, it's just how it is right now. And it's also accessions as far as coming in, you know, if... You know, we don't need people right now. We're not going to give you waivers for whatever you do, your boo-boos. But you make these mistakes, and then you can just get, you learn from them, because later on there'll be somebody else that has almost a similar problem, and it'll be like, hey man, I did the same thing.
I've been there, right?
Well, I did the same thing 10, 15 years ago.
Well, that's why I see the value in that. I think it makes us a more resilient, you know, kind of ready force.
Yeah.
And we're not, nobody's perfect. We're not a zero defect Navy.
Right, so, exactly.
Now, there are some things, there's a lot, drugs obviously is a good example. We're not going to, that's zero tolerance. There's right. nothing I can do about that. But generally speaking, if you can be saved, if you're salvageable, I'm for that. It's nothing but experiences and making you stronger. And eventually, you know, it doesn't always work this way, but you get the right person, they can be influential on the next generation and identify with them and help them out and train them and coach
them. And it's
them.
Just like, hey, we went through that, you know?
Right, we've been there.
The funny thing about the drugs, though, like, because I came in 90, we came in 96 right. time, and we had an entire, like, almost a platoon if an MCB5 popped. It was like, it was insane. So many people popped popped for drugs. It was like, they just recalibrated the whole urinalysis program, and it got all that other stuff, and also fairly new was the zero tolerance, because I'll just say Gary, I won't say a full name, but Gary was the master arms, the cop chief, and he was telling him, like, yeah man, back when I came in, I busted for cocaine like four times, and it was like, you know, and they just yelled at us. Now it's like, and so he was like really understanding to the guys sure. that were on restrictions. Like, I get it, you guys don't understand. And also, when you're living a life of doing things that are kind of criminal and another, you don't realize how impactful this could be to your entire life.
Oh, yeah.
So unfortunately, I mean, people do got to go away. And then you see that and you're like, oh shit, this is real. You know, it is what it is, as the kiddies say.
Mm-hmm. Awkward silence.
Yep.
This is good pod right here.
This is a dead air. This is the dead air portion. I just want to make sure this thing was still running. I was like,
because we're capturing good stuff here. We don't want to just let it.
The way it was angled, it looked like it was dead. And I looked at it, I was like, oh shit. I was doing a podcast with a young man, Jonathan Ralph. He's a CE1. And I went down to go frock him at Log Sioux, which is really cool. And thanks again for having me. But thanks again for having me, Log Sioux guys. So I went down to Log Sioux to frock him, and we get halfway through a podcast, and then like I look over and a battery's died somewhere in there, and I'm like, get out. And we had to start all over again. That's what I was making sure wasn't happening right now.
Are the rechargeable batteries in there, or are they just commercial?
No, these are lithium, like the good batteries that yeah, I sure. lie that I don't have any lithium batteries in my bag when I go through
oh,
airports.
Oh, right, of course. You yes. know? So when you were in San Diego, did you go see the new SEAL base they're building?
Yes, that's where I was.
That's where you were. Okay.
And it was really,
pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. Because it's just like that whole area, and you have Log Sioux, which is over on one side, and then you walk through the buildings. I'll tell you this. So a while back, I went down to Log Sioux for another reason. This is when he was there previously, when Ralph was there with another CB. And they were like, what was it? So they wanted to go to a strip club. And I'm like, man, I don't really want to. I'll go anywhere, but it just costs you money. So then they went there and they tried to get me buy me a lap dance, you know? Mm. And I'm like, no, dude. So what I did was I gave another stripper money. I was like, this is for my son. Like, can you give my dad a lap dance? What he said, right? And so I was like, ugh, dude, for real. Okay, whatever. And then 10 minutes later, I was like, here, I gave a stripper money for a lap dance for him. And so he went and did that. And then, that was the first time they were there. A couple of years later, which is now, he's like, hey, can you come down for the ceremony to frock me? And I'm like, flattered. I'm like, yeah, man, that's freaking awesome. So I go down to frock this dude. In other words, I'm putting the rank on him mm-hmm. for the people that don't understand what frocking is. So, and I walk up, you know, when they call the people, and it's everybody's wives and kids are pinning their family, and it's like sure. really cool, and kids are just hugging daddy's leg, and you know, other kids are running around, the bad kids, you know, and it's just like, it's always cool to see like the kid running around like it's very unexpected, you know, in a professional manner, and everybody else is just trying to keep their composure without laughing as hard as they can. So you have that all going on, and then I go to frock my dude, and I, you know, it's on a flap, you unvelcro the flap, you pull off the old ring, you slide the new one on, and I tapped him in the stomach, like, make this shit stick, you know, and then like it's SEALs, so they're all like, oh yeah, because they're all about punching people and making sure pins stick, and so the SEALs were like loving that. And then I went back and I sat down, and the reason why I told you that story before, I got it, this is why. So the skipper for Loxu was saying it was really good to have all these people here, the families, the wives, the kids. We had even somebody's father drive down for this. and it was like the interesting, we had people say profanity and all this other stuff, and it was great, you know, and that was cool. But wait, there's more. So after that, Ralph gives me a tour there, and there's Derek Patterson, you know him from, you know, he's over there now. So,
oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. And he's with one of the SEAL teams. So I went to one of the SEAL team buildings with Ralph, and it's, you know, they put two buildings or two teams in a building now. So one's on the first floor, one's on the second floor. So I got the whole walk through, like the tour. It was really cool. And I ran into some people I haven't seen in so long, just like being here. It's so good. And then I walked through back to the Loxu building. And, hey, it was really good to have you here, sir, to me. And I'm like, oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, because the skipper still thinks I'm his dad. Yeah, I didn't dye my hair, so I'm all gray at the time anyway. You know, so, like, I only dye it if I'm going to do clubs in colleges or something where I have to look a little bit younger.
Right.
So I don't look like everybody's grandpa, you know, 19, 20-year-old kids.
I don't think you wear it well. I don't think you look like you're.
So, well, yeah, because it's dyed right now. So... It's not all gray right now, but anyways, it was pretty funny.
Yes, so it's funny when Chief Patterson now, right?
Yeah.
So he checked in with me when I was in San Diego, and we hit it off about he's a big golfer.
Oh yeah,
and that's what I like to do, and I'm usually pretty good wherever I am. That guy blows me away. I mean, he's excellent,
awesome guy.
And I tried. We never actually played together. We were, you know, we'd have all these fundraiser tournaments, CB ball tournaments, and he would come in with his dad. And a couple of ringers, and they would always clean up. He won every single tournament.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, how about playing with your old XO every once in a while? And he's like, you could tell. He was like, nah, I'm good, sir. I'm good. I got my team. So
Well, I love it, too, because he'd be kind, really nice about it, too. I could totally picture him be like, well, you know, maybe... Because his head shakes when he talks sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Maybe next time.
Well, we got something else because I got this right now, and these are the people I got going on. And if you listen right now, brother, I love you, and I'm only doing this in jest.
Yeah, no, it was good to have. Yeah, that NAFAC man only had like 40 something CBs, but they did some good work. So
yeah. Well, are you in a hurry or no? Because I don't want.
I am not in a hurry.
Okay, cool. Because I don't want to, like, if you have to go places because you're in charge of an entire base here and it's the first day of the week. That's why I was like, man, I don't want to.
It's Valentine's Day. What could happen?
Oh, jeez. Oh, peace.
We're recording this on Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's
Day. And frankly, Josh, there's nobody I'd rather spend time with than you on Valentine's Day.
That was funny. The girls over at the, what was it, Shaggy's today?
Yeah, for lunch.
They had a blast with our personalities.
Yes.
But, so you've been to all these commands. What do you think would probably be like the most fun that you've had?
I don't know. I generally try to find the best out of every place I've been. I mean, they may not. I've really gotten my first choice or second choice.
Yeah.
Almost every time, and you make the best of it. And so hey, there's something to learn professionally, personally. And you know, it's really all about the contacts you make and the legacy you leave behind as far as helping people out. So I think you've had me on before. I still think my most meaningful tour or impactful tour, I guess, for me was when I was at the cargo handling battalion in Williamsburg. And I think I was first time I was around troops, because my first tour was all civilians. I was around all civilians. I was an ensign, and I was at NAFAC, and it was great. I mean, I learned a lot about building and
where was contract. This?
That was in NAFAC? That was in Yorktown, Virginia,
Yorktown?
Naval Weapons Station. So this is like the Norfolk area, right? It's a little bit outskirt. I mean, a little bit out. But the second tour, though, was this cargo handling battalion. I had just excellent chiefs. I had excellent troops. Fresh off the boat, right? I mean, every 3 weeks we'd get a busload of 60 of them, whatever, from Great Lakes. And,
yeah.
And it was bosun mates. It was a fleet command with, I don't know, it's about 20% CVs. And we deployed and we did some, not construction missions per se, but the cargo handling logistics mission. And I just learned a lot about taking CVs from point A to point B, bringing them back safely, accounting for them, taking care of them. And over the course of my career, just to see them in different deployments. I mean, I've run into them in Okinawa. I've run into them in Spain. I've run into them here in Gulfport. And holy cow, you're now a second class. I mean, you know, you're now a chief or you're first class with a SKUs pen, and you're doing really well. The chiefs really, I think they're made me into a better officer. And I had great XO and COs, and just sort of, it was impactful. And I got to go to some really cool places, New Zealand, Antarctica, Australia, Spain. Where else? Yeah, California, just lots of different exercises.
And that was all with the cargo handling.
It was, and they don't go for 6 months at a time. I mean, I think they're different now. I think they do have some debts that are out there, you know, Kuwait for months at a time. But it was a lot of 2, 3, 4, 5 week type missions.
Those are amazing.
And and don't ask me why they got per diem, but they, I mean, you made money on these debts too, right? If you were smart. And I get to the CBs and
don't let them cuss you out right now for being like, oh, well, there's a captain on there who said we shouldn't get per diem.
Get money. Yeah. Well, then I get to the CBs and they're like, yeah, so it's $350 a day. And it's been $350 a day since, you know, 1967 too. So it's, anyway, it was, we made some good money and it was a good experience. And then that, from there I went to NMCB 3 in Port Hueneme and started and got my excuse pen and,
yeah,
and sort of, I think that was just the daily grind of, you know, mustering and PT and evals and just sort of, you know, having troops and being part of a department. The first time I realized, hey, I like this.
Yeah,
I get it.
Definitely.
I like being around people. I like taking care of people. And, it just kind of got me on the path of a lot of those kind of tours. I've done a lot of expeditionary tours and, enjoyed it.
That's it, man. I love those places, though. That's our battalions too, man, because that was like my bread and butter. I love the people. I love the issues. And then all the problems, I always found how to make fun of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like how to make the worst the best out of the worst. And if you can do that, you can succeed anywhere in the military.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be, you know, laugh out loud on this podcast, but I will tell you that people that know me, I would say, know that I am generally lighthearted, funny.
Yeah.
Like to keep it humorous. I mean, We're in a dangerous business. I mean, in fact, I spoke to a group of JAG lawyers this morning.
Okay.
All first and second tour. I mean, all lieutenants, maybe a few lieutenant commanders in there. And I kind of, it's funny, I stumped them with, what is the mission of the United States Navy? And they kind of sat there and looked at me, and I was like, and one of them started to quote something that sounded like a legal document.
Well, John Paul Jones once
said. Exactly, right. And I said, no. It's fight and win wars. That Simple. Is why we're here. So I kind of like, hey, you guys are lawyers. I'm an engineer.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that you were in the United States Navy, right? And so don't you guys get all wrapped up in what kind of legal tours you've had and all the legal. And it's important. I mean, don't get me wrong. We need JAG officers to keep us honest and interpret laws and ethics and all those kind of things and training. But you guys are naval officers, and we fight and win wars. And they didn't like when I said this, but I was like, you're also combatants, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. You're not a corpsman. You're not a chaplain. You're a combatant, so don't ever forget that. And so you could tell some of them are like, holy cow, yeah, I'm a naval officer.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. And it's like, I know you may have used this to get law school paid for or whatever it may be. That's fine. But while you're serving, you're in the United States Navy, and we're here for a reason.
You have to have those reminders like that, because
right.
I remember coming in 96, like thinking I'm not a buddy of mine, quoting a friend of mine. He was like, I'm not no basic combat skill, because that was BCS was the thing then. Now it's changed to different names and terms, but I'm not a basic combat skill. And it's like, the hell you are, you know, 9/11 happens. And then it's just like, oh my goodness, it's not just Topps baseball cards. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I knew of war.
Yeah. So I think I shared the story last time I was with you on a podcast or a couple times ago. I was in Rota on my first deployment with MCB3 as a JO.
Right.
When 9/11 happened, and I was CDO that day. And that's the first time, not being on a range, that I got handed a weapon loaded. And it was like, this is it. And it was sobering. I was like, what do I do with this? I mean, I put it in the holster.
Yeah.
And I kind of sat there for a minute and I was like, I'm carrying a loaded weapon and I'm not on a range. This is legit. Right. And again, those things stick with you as a JO.
In Rota, Spain. Yeah.
Now, again, you're on a Spanish base. And if you know Kent Mitchell, and people who've listened to this may know this, we basically move trucks across the entrances to kind of, it's a base within a base. And we sort of just enclaved ourselves and armed ourselves and did our own internal patrols. But it was still like, 9/11 happened. This is really pre-internet. I mean,
yes.
pre-massive internet, right?
And it has to be somebody that comes and tells you this stuff. It's not like it's on your phone. You look down and be like, you're watching a plane go into a building on your phone. This is like, you know.
Yeah, I dare say that none of us had phones then. It was like the CDO had a phone.
Yeah, pre-cell phones.
Right? Pre-cell phones. And so you're getting the news and you're just getting sort of message traffic and whatever. It's somewhat isolated. But that was the first time I was like, holy cow, this is for real. But, yeah, it's I forgot what I was going to say, but that's okay.
That's okay. We're talking about sobering stuff and NMCB3.
Huh. Yeah. So that was something before that, but that's okay. Anyway, I guess like I, I know where I was going with this. Our life and this lifestyle and the mission we have is hard enough as it is, right? We deploy, we're away from our families, yeah. we're doing dangerous things. It's long hours. It's dirty, dangerous work. It's, you know, potentially unsafe at times. So why not have a little fun when you can along the way? Now, exactly. I'm never inappropriate, and I've never had anybody tell me I'm crossing the line. But I generally like to make a personal connection with somebody, have inside jokes,
right?
And again, I like to keep it lighthearted and fun. And that's again, I say this with a very deep, sombering voice that I have. I understand that, but people that know me, I think, know that generally like to have a good time and like to laugh.
Yeah, you do, you know, and it's very important for that, because people don't forget that. Because when I was in four, we're talking about going on restriction and Wershing, I think he retired as captain. Good guy.
He did. Yep.
And then, commander at the time, Wershing, and then Austin Leadham, two people really impactful, you know, who I get some, Fezzedin was also another dude, but that was five. But they were like, knew you, like, names and stuff like that. Right. It wasn't just like they walk by and then be like, how's, you know, your wife by their first name, you know? And it's like,
sure.
And I'm like, wow, man, this dude actually took enough time to, even if it's just written down in his wheel book, he took enough time to write it down and look at it, you know? And, I always thought that was neat.
I try hard to do that. This whole base, like I said earlier, has a service mission, right? I've told folks at NDOC or when I, in different meetings, you know, the base doesn't exist to be the base. I mean,
right.
The Navy does not need a base to be here. The base is here because of the tenants. The base is here because of the CBs, because of, you know, NCTC, because of, you know, we have a Department of Homeland Security tenant somewhere on this base. We have a warehousing mission on this base. We have 44 tenants on the base. That's why the base is here. So don't ever forget that. And with that, unfortunately, comes sort of this thankless, you know, nobody's thanking us when the gates are open.
Right.
Nobody's thanking us when the galley is open. Nobody thanks us when the exchange is open. But as soon as it's closed, or the power's out, or the gates are shut, or we have to, you know, it's nothing but complaining. And
why? Where's the?
Exactly.
What
so,
the?
So that's a hard, I mean,
for every people, building needs to be named after my friends.
Exactly. So
like, no, there's a little process behind.
But that's a hard thing to get people's heads around is, right. Come to work every day, and nobody will ever say anything to you. But as soon as you screw up, the space sucks.
Literally thankless. That's the definition right there.
So I go. So as cheerleader in chief or whatever you want to call me, I mean, I thank you for doing a good job on this project. Doing a good job on the galley. Thanks for making a cake for the ceremony on Friday. You know, just
speaking of the galley. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Do you like that?
Yeah, yeah. For those that don't know, here in Gulfport, because this is where a lot of my best friends, me included, came through school and spent 25 plus years.
Yeah.
And that galley, they got a pizzeria going in there. And like,
yeah, the galley, it's amazing.
It's.
If you've been to a, you know, I got college age kids or about to be college age kids. It looks like a college dining hall.
That's exactly.
Where you walk in, it's like, oh, there's the hamburger station, there's the pizza station. And this is a Navy galley, and it's amazing. And
it's going to be an awesome speed line in there. Man, I can't wait.
Yes. Now, hopefully the quality, I mean, so I've challenged our galley folks, like, hey, we have to order. I mean, you can't just cook the same thing you've been cooking. We have these new equipment, new capabilities. Right. We got to start ordering different ingredients and making new stuff. But they're excited about it.
Yeah.
And you saw it. It's a beautiful facility.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, a lot of stuff that's coming through here is the people are actually thought of. Like, who's going to come through here? It was actually something. It wasn't just like, all right, people are going to eat here. It was actually like, all right, what's it like to eat now as somebody that was born after 2000?
Right. What is the expectation? Right.
Yeah.
And it is not, you know, mystery meat and mashed potatoes anymore.
Meat blobs. That's exactly what I used to call them, meat blobs.
Right.
You know, instead of meatballs.
Mm. Yeah. We're very, I'll tell you, people have their preconceived notions about Gulfport. And I'm, you know, it's not always the most popular place to come. We try hard on the base to make it as nice as we can. I mean, we are, you know, frankly, we're funded at a certain level. I mean, we're not funded like the Air Force, I'll say it, right?
No,
to be super nice, but we're funded to make it. And a lot of my civilians and our department heads go above and beyond to make it as nice as we can. We definitely keep the, you know, the NCTC, the Army and the Air Force and all these students that are here in mind. I wouldn't say they're locked down on the base, but they kind of are confined. COVID certainly didn't help with that, right? And so give them stuff to do, make it nice, make the barracks as nice as we can, and we definitely take that to heart.
How this might sound like a crazy question, but how much of a mental health factor was COVID, like, for troops and, like, the barracks? Was it very bothersome to a lot of people, or did it kind of like, you know?
I think so. I mean, you take, again, you may only be here for 8 weeks as an A school student.
Yeah.
But you're still away from home. They put a lot of restrictions on because, again, I think now in 2022, we know more about COVID than we did almost 2 years ago, right? I mean, we're not wiping down, you know, In-N-Out bags and Amazon packages anymore.
Everything had to
But we were initially, right? And so, but I still think the restrictions of, they still kind of want to keep them in a bubble, keep them on base. And I think your average, you know, you're 18, you're away from home, and you're not from Texas to Louisiana to Florida. This is a very different kind of environment.
Big time.
Weather and everything else. And so I think it, we do have our mental health challenges. And something I've noticed, you know, I get like a daily blotter twice a day emails about all the different things that are going on in the Navy. Hey, there was a gate runner here.
I bet.
Hey, there was powder outages here. There was a UAS was flying over this base. That comes out twice a day. And I don't know who's all on it, but a lot of base COs and a bunch of people are on it. There is always, unfortunately, suicidal ideation, suicidal attempt. Almost never a day goes by that we don't have one somewhere in the Navy. And it's, unfortunately, I mean, we had a suicide about a month ago here in the barracks. Battalion sailor, investigation still out there. I don't know what the whole reason was. Hung himself by the shower, on the shower rack. And it was, you know, again, you think it can't happen here, but it did.
Right. You always think it. You don't really think about it until it's just like, what the hell? That's one of the reasons why I do this, civilianization.
Yes.
It was Sean, my boy Sean. He was, you know, former, what do you call it, security forces in the Air Force. And he did a lot of the convoy stuff. And then Sean Michael Malik.
I've heard you talk about him before.
Yeah, and it's just like, you never would have thought, you know, but most comics were kind of sad on the inside a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But it's just like, wow, what the heck? So you never expect it, especially people don't even know, you know, it's just, you know, and then until it happens and it happens like, oh shit.
This base, I would say per capita has more mental health and support resources than any other base.
That's awesome.
I mean, our fleet and family is, I mean, I'll say overmanned for the size of the base.
Okay.
We have embedded mental health for the battalions. We have focus for the families. There's eight chaplains on this base between all the different units and all the RPs that go with it. There's mental health at the clinic. We have all kinds of support services on this base. But people can still slip through the cracks, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, there's still 600 people in a battalion, and without that personal connection, and you can't blame the skipper or the XO or the mass chief. There's 600 people. But I can blame the collectively, our fire team leaders, our squad leaders, our company, they all need to do better at knowing their people.
Right.
And taking an active interest in them, right? And taking care of your brother and your sister, the left and right. Because, again, I don't want to sound flippant. I was talking to my wardroom about the suicide afterwards. And again, this was from a battalion. It wasn't part of the base staff. But I said, there's, what is there, 20 a day?
Yeah, 22.
22.
That's what they say. And they change the number.
What they say, right?
But realistically, yeah.
So one of them's going to be in Gulfport. I don't know how to. I mean, there's really no way around that. I mean, that two Fridays prior to me saying that, that was our day to have a suicide here.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. And I don't know. We have all the programs in place. We have all the, you know, we talk about it all the time. It still happened, and it's heartbreaking. So. Anyway, I don't mean to make this a downer podcast.
No, but
I
do. Nobody's listening anymore. I'm just kidding.
Really? Well, can we start talking about my manifesto that I'm working on?
No, I totally get it. I didn't mean to throw you off on that one, but
we have all the services and support we need on the space. And so I'm not the unit leader anymore. I'm not the battalion anymore. But my job, make sure we have all the tools that those folks need to help them out. So,
which is cool. Cause that wasn't, one of the things I think is really cool is about what you guys are doing now. And I say you guys, cause I'm no longer active duty. I'm just like, literally I am Obi-Wan in the Force. Like Darth Vader cut me in half. I am part of the Force. I disappeared, you know, but that's one of the things. And I'm like, may the Force be with you to everybody's ear right now. You know what I mean? But one of the things that I think is really cool as far as a lot of people on active duty is, it's not a joke. I mean, everything's a joke if you want it to be, but I'm saying it's taken seriously when it comes to mental health. And if there's any kind of issues, people can actually talk about that. And it's not looked down upon. It's not just some guy who's teaching indoc yelling, oh, ask, care, treat, remember, act.
Yeah.
And then, no, it's a legit thing. And, you know.
Right. And it doesn't need to just be during the month, whatever the designated month is. It needs to be 12 months a year. So absolutely. It's very important. Anyway, how long have we been going?
About 45 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't know.
Okay.
So But yeah, there's, let's see here. We are at almost an hour. So
amazing.
We'll wrap here really soon. Got another question for you. If you go, you talked to a bunch of JOs earlier today. So if you're going to talk to any JOs or actually anybody really coming into the military, what kind of like quick advice you would give them in passing? Like, hey, sir, hey, what would you do differently?
So,
or not you personally, but so what would you do?
So easy, couple things, practical. Buy a flag, take it with you wherever you go.
Okay.
Right? So again, I don't know if you've ever had to do this, but admirals, captains, master chiefs retire, and they want the flag flown at every duty station.
Yeah.
Well, that's a huge pain in the butt, FedEx challenge, right? We got to FedEx, you know, and it's always within, you know, the next 30 days, we got to get it back to Virginia Beach. Or wherever. It's like, come on, buddy. So take that flag with you, and you never know when you're going to be in some unique location or the Pentagon or, hey, I was stationed at this base, and get it flown one day and get a certificate and build your own kind of memories.
That'd be cool.
So. In fact, I told these JOs that, I mean, what behind the ears lawyers, no offense lawyers, but go buy a flag at the exchange this afternoon and take it with you wherever you go. And a couple of them wrote that down. Like, okay. So if I was talking to the A school students or I was talking to the basic ensigns, you know, out at Seacoast for CEC officers, get a flag and take it with you wherever you go. Your network is important, I think. So I've kept a running log of kind of influential people going back to, you know, Ensign Powell days. And so, if nothing else, that is a list of people that I want to invite to my retirement.
Yeah, okay.
Right. But also it's also people that I've connected with or bonded with, and I reference that list now as if I ever have 10 or 20 minutes, I will just send an email to 3 or 4 people. How's everything going?
That's really cool.
And so, not to brag on myself, I don't know that a lot of other O6s do that, but right. I take it very seriously because I do care about people and I want them to know that somebody out there cares. So, hey there, Lieutenant Commander. Where are you going next? How's your family doing?
That's, you know, really good.
Did your kid graduate high school yet? Or, you know, whatever, where are they going to college? You know, what are they doing next? And so keeping up a network and putting some time and effort into that, maintaining that network is important. What was the other thing I said?
Take a flag with you. Networking. And the one thing, too, what are you thinking about?
Oh, the last thing was... raise your right hand and volunteer for whatever you can. And so I'm not saying for, you know, garbage little collateral duty things,
but
you know, nowadays in the Navy, hey, we need a CB to go to Gitmo for 3 weeks to do whatever. We need a JAG to go on some, you know, some riverine operation in the Amazon to do, you know, law of armed conflict or whatever. Raise your hand and go.
Yeah.
Right. And again, take the flag with you because you never know, right, when, you know, it's going to mean something to you and you'll be in a neat location. But I will tell you, I've gotten a lot of opportunities in the Navy just because I said, I'll go.
Yeah, totally. The funny thing you say that, because a lot of times people ask me, because, you know, doing stuff like this, it's comedy, military, like, what do I regret? And most of my regrets are things that I didn't do, not things that I did do. You know what I mean? And that, in hindsight, and then there's like this, Neil Young, I won't say that because if I'm on Spotify, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we don't want to say it, right?
I won't say Neil Young, but there's things that you haven't done. It's so hard to say, you know, what could have been, and the hardest words are what could have been,
right?
And it's like,
are you writing a country song right now? Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's, well, actually, it is kind of partially kind a of country is. Song,
yeah,
from Neil Young that I was just mentioning.
Oh, Roger that.
So it's one of his songs already.
I was
I'm plagiarizing.
There's a little Texas song that sounds a little bit like
probably,
that too.
But yeah.
So I have volunteered or interviewed for things. I've interviewed for White House jobs and Camp David jobs, and it's like I didn't get all of them. I didn't get any of them.
Right.
I did get some things, but. Guess what? I got to go fly to D.C. and spend the day at, you know, Camp David or whatever it was. Why not? What's the worst that's going to happen? And you get your name out there and you meet some more folks and it's all good. So I would encourage people to the Navy has got lots of opportunities for you. I mean, you can sort of keep your head down and just do the bare minimum, or you can raise your hand and get some really neat opportunities. And especially, I mean, I guess I'm obviously more familiar with the officer career path, but, you know, we do 2 to 3 year tours.
I would hope so.
You would hope so. What? That I'm familiar with.
Yeah, right. They're more familiar. Yeah.
After 26 years, I think I got the officer thing down
a little bit better than me. I mean,
yeah. But again, I'm kind of a fan of after a year or a year and a half or 2 years, you kind of got what that tour is.
Yeah.
So why not break it up with some TAD or an IA or
right.
do something? I mean, again, nothing wrong with people that are going to sit in a cubicle in the Pentagon for 3 years and do the same job. That's fine. We need people to do that.
Right, of course.
But I would also be raising my hand going, can I go do something else? Can I go travel? Can I be on this part of this special you know, whether that's a selection board in Millington or that's, you know, attaché type things or, you know, carry the nuclear football, whatever it may be, right? Just volunteer to do something different.
A lot of people don't know that those bad things that sound horrible are usually the ones you talk about and they're the fun.
It's kind of fun, right.
Later on. Like, the worst places in the world end up being my favorite places, you know? Pohang, Korea was supposed to be so bad. And it was like some of the best friends and best times there. Fallujah, Iraq, definitely a horrible place. But like, hopping rides to Ramadi and, like, doing all this stupid stuff I probably shouldn't have done. But in hindsight, I did all that stuff to get a mission done. You know what I mean? So
right.
I broke every rule in the book, but it was to get work done. I had to. I didn't, or I would just be like, sorry, I don't have the parts, or, but no, I'm going to freaking go to Al Asad and slide in with some Marines, right. Disappear for 12 hours and come right back. And people are just going to tell everybody that they think I went to the exchange to cover for me. You know what I mean? And, oh man, that was so much fun those days. But the always volunteering is a good one, because, like, a lot of times there's so much, just, it just sounds so bad. Oh, this is going to be a horrible, shitty thing to do. And then you do it. And then forever, the rest of your life, like right now, I'm talking about those
things. Well, I will tell you too. So nowadays, we've talked about this before. There are so many JOs in a battalion. There's too many. Too many, frankly, right? I mean, when I was a JO in NMCV3, 2001, there was like 19 of us. There was like 19 officers in the battalion total. Now there's like 35.
Right.
So how do you stand out? Well, so I've told JOs time and time again, raise your hand, be enthusiastic, show some initiative. Hey, I want to do that. Hey, I want to do that. You know, keep raising your hand, and you'll get noticed. Now, you might get some garbage, you know, assignments along the way, but at least you're showing some initiative. And
yeah, and trickle that down even further, because, like, you're taking on, like, I remember being in first class being a platoon commander, you know, back then when there's very few officers,
right.
Very few chiefs, and 9 mobile battalions, you know what I mean? So, you know, 8, 9, 8, 9, depending on the year. So it's the same thing for first, second, thirds, you know, chiefs, is you got to, like, stand out and do something different, because
you do.
Those billets have been gone. You know, there's no longer SW1 as a platoon commanders, you know, unless it's like a specific detail far away,
right.
But that's about it, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. The battalion going out the door. I mean, this month is 1 and 133 are swapping out. 133 has very few debts.
Right.
I mean, they're almost everybody's going to Rota and everybody's going to Guam. And there's, I think, Cap Palau, and there's maybe one other debt in Europe. And the reserves have a lot, as we talked about, the reserves are taking a lot of the debts.
Right.
And they're on their own little cycle. They're a special, you know, different cycle from the active duty ones. They're taking all the debts in Iraq and I think the Middle East. And so it's a different world. So how do you stand out? You got to show some initiative and raise your hand.
And, you know, honestly, I wish that what they would do with those kind of things was just like right seat, left seat. You know, because one of the things I thought was really neat when I was in Kuwait, we had 14 and 40 was with us, and I think 24 was like the first one, and 24 had left, and then 14 was there, you know, and we all just worked together like we were part of the thing. So you'd have like Det Rota or, well, not, that's a bad one, Det Kenya or something doing water wells, and you'd have like 6 active, 6 reserve, and that way you could work together. And then when 133 leaves, you know, one will show up, and that's half of that deployment. So you know what I mean? So like in the middle of that deployment, that's when the other battalion's deployment. So no matter what, you have half a battalion there, you know. So right. It just keeps on going, and it's like so you'll have something that's consistent. You know, every 3 months it'll be an active or a reserve battalion leaving. So there's some sort of consistency there.
Yeah, they did that for a couple of years in like I think 20. You know, sort of 15, 16, 17 time frame, the debts were going to Africa, sort of, hey, the OIC might be reservist, but the SEL enlisted as active duty, and, you know, they kind of mixed and matched, and I don't know what all the pros and cons were of that or how that worked out, but they apparently aren't doing
But I can tell you the cons right now are people aren't getting their proper training. You know what I mean? So it's like the water well is a very important thing, and then I know that's going away to a lot of the reserve side, and they should have it as well. I'm saying both should have that. Same with crushing and blasting and all that other stuff. That way, no matter what, you know, but this is a whole nother like 5-hour podcast. I could do it another time.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I could definitely go down that it's Valentine's Day. I'm keeping you from your wife. So
yeah, no, next time we should just like break open the like Builder 3 and 2 and just read from it. That'd be exciting.
That'd be it.
Right.
Like, so P405 back in the day, exactly. P437. We got them all.
Oh my goodness. No, it's been great to see you. I'm glad you can make it out for this. This was always fun to see you, and I appreciate, you know, I dubbed you, I think, the CB ambassador.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that'll stick or not, but I, you know, when I gave you a shout out from the podium, I definitely want to recognize what you do for, I think, just raising awareness, bringing people together. I really appreciate you bringing veteran service officers, talking about mental health, talking about, you know, getting your record, talking about the transition, you know, the whole name of it, civilianization, right? How do you become, how do you keep that team spirit alive? The volunteer work you do, I think you're a great individual. You're a great example, and you know, you had a great successful career. Maybe your post career is going to be just as successful, if not more.
Let's hope my post career is better than my regular career.
No, there's nothing to be. Hey, you served, man. You did 20 years. That's awesome. So, but I will tell you, it's easy.
I'm making fun of retiring as a first and not anything above that.
you're still in the fight.
Yeah, man.
And you're still helping out. And again, I think I know you don't have a lot of Gulfport time, but coming out here once or twice a year, you know, you're always welcome, and it's always great to see you. So thanks for being here for this and coming.
Well, yeah, it's usually me thanking other people for coming onto the podcast, but yeah, and thanks for having me here in good old Gulfport, Mississippi. And as much as I love bagging on this place, it grows on you, man. I can see why people stay here, and especially the cost of living is so nice.
It's definitely advantage, right?
The weather right now is amazing.
Yeah, don't come in the summer.
This is perfect snowbird place. You know what
I mean? It is nice. Like, yeah, absolutely. The winter's here, fall, winter, and you know, until about March, whatever. It's pretty nice here.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to throw out there for the kiddies? Anything else?
No, I take very seriously the oath that we all took, the Constitution. I love being part of the team that raised the right hand, and that small minority of Americans. And so I've said this before on this podcast and others, but I'm thankful for everybody that serves. It's no small thing. It is no small thing what you've done. Whether you do, you know, your 4 or 5 years, or you do 20 or 30, it's a great team, and it's a great thing to be part of, and something definitely to be proud of. And so thank you for what you're doing.
On my honor, I'll do my duty to God and my country and his way of the scout law. No, I'm just kidding. Different one.
Yeah, that was before the Navy, right.
Yeah, honor, courage, commitment. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, reverent. See, I was a good Boy Scout. Anyway, no more hang fires?
I was being serious, Josh, but yeah, no, absolutely.
I appreciate that, man.
It's great to see you. Thanks for what you're doing.
Trying to make things a little bit giggly at the end.
I know.
So
yeah, we had some somber topics during this hour.
All right. Well, I guess we'll cut it. Cool. All right. So remember, folks, keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. Never forget Obi loves you. But also, for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Have a good day. Let's cue that CB song, right?
Hoorah.
All right. Oi, oi, oi. No, it's hoorah.